All right. This is kind of introduction still. We're on Romans 4 and 4 is where we are. David asked a question about grammar in Greek. We will learn Greek as we go with it. We're going to learn the Bible a whole lot. And we'll study words and the roots of words. Okay? I wanted to show you a little bit. Last week we talked about Greek text. Remember when we talked about the text of the Bible? Okay? The text of the Bible. And I told you that a Greek text is all Greek. Okay? Now this is a Nestle Island text. It's probably the most accurate text that there is in the New Testament. And it has an apparatus that tells you everything. By the way, after the class, you can come up here and look at them. That's an original page out of a 1611 Bible in 1611. That page is 400 years old. That's out of Theodore Beza's Latin Bible, and that one's from 1628. And there's a synopsis of the Gospels in Westcott and Hort from 1898, I think it is. I'll put this on camera so... Anyway, that's what it looks like. That's a Greek text. The only thing that's English in there will be some of the footnotes sometimes and then what the subject is in between. Okay? This, if you're going to study, getting deep and study the Bible, this was my first Greek I ever learned. Is Syncios. The original Greek Bibles in the first century, when they wrote the Greek Bibles, they were all capitals. That's what's called uncials, and they were all together. As you can see here, I went through this thing. This was my first Greek text I ever had. This is the only one I could find at the time when I started studying Greek. And it was all uncials. Well, when I went over to the Middle East, I could read uncials. I could read the manuscripts. And I had enough Hebrew before I could even read the old Hebrew. That was 1975 and 76 when I did that. So I was one of the readers in an archaeological group that we had over there. Anyway, this is one of the original texts. This is what the Bible looked like. Put that up there on the camera. Let you see that. By the way, these classes go all over the world. They start here, but they end up everywhere. Did you see that one sitting there? All right. Now, I told you last week, and I'll throw this out here just in case.
Was there a reason why the Roman capitals of those spaces?
That's the way they wrote it at that time. Simply what they did. Later on, they went to minuscules, which is more like the modern Greek. Okay, and they broke the words down. If you go and look at any of the old manuscripts that are old, this is old. This is 2,000-year-old stuff now I'm talking about. If you go back there, you're going to find it's all uncials, all capitals. Just like that. Now, I told you about analytical Greek lexicon, the best analytical Greek lexicon that I, if you want to get one of these, this is pretty necessary if you're going to study any Greek, okay? It's printed by Zondervan in the 1970s, and you can buy them online, used. They're out of print. There's a lot of other ones out there in print now, but this is the best one. If they were any other better than that, I would tell you, but I don't know of any better than this one. I even, here's what I went to and corrected and added to it and did all kinds of stuff. But we even copied this for years because we couldn't find those things before the internet came out. Well, after the internet came out, we can do all kinds of stuff. But I had photocopied this in 444 pages, and people were buying this. It cost, I think, at that time about $75 just to copy this. But it is... Actually, my edition is a little better than the original, even though it's got my handwriting in there, but I put things in there from Greek and Hebrew and other texts that you don't normally get in the other ones. Here is an original Westcott and Hort. This is probably 1920 or something like that. It's a text with a student's guide and everything, like you can see, it's falling apart like me. But there's all kinds of these. You can go in old bookstores and you can find a Greek text. Okay? And then here is the Textus Receptus, the King James guy's Bible. Okay? Textus Receptus. It's a Greek text, but the only problem with the Textus Receptus, it's not Greek. It's translated from the Latin. That is not an accurate text at all. That's what your... the Stevens text or Textus Receptus, they call it the received text. And you'll find a lot of writers that want to... propagate the King James Bible, they will really back this up. But this is really, I don't know of any scholars in that group at all. Really, I don't know any. Or they wouldn't be doing that.
Now, was that translated from Jerome's Latin?
It was translated. Now, Jerome goes back also. Jerome, there was Latin translations of the Bible before Jerome. But Jerome, he wanted a translation for the Catholic Church. They wanted to take the Bible out of the hands of the people. Okay? And he translated, and that was the only authorized version of the Bible, and the common man couldn't read Latin. It was only the doctors and lawyers could read Latin, so it took it out of the hands of the people. They did not want them to know that. What?
What was the purpose behind that?
To take, so that they would not know that the dogmas of the Catholic Church, which was evolving into the Catholic Church, were so off base. If you had a Bible, then you say, hey, what you're doing here is not normal. This isn't what the Bible says. Here is a student's edition of the British Bible Society. Okay? This is a text. It's made up of Nestle Allen and everything. It's a good text. It tells you all the different rendings. There are families of manuscripts. If you want to study the text of the New Testament, here's a book by Bruce Metzger. The text of the New Testament is Transmission, Corruption, and Restoration. Our Greek text that we have today, the Nestle Allen, are as accurate as when Paul and Matthew and Mark and Luke signed them. You can go back and you can test and check everyone. There are, by the way, about 5,000 original Greek manuscripts. We got a lot of them, even though the Catholic Church was burning them fast as they could get them. They still ended up, we've still got 5,000 partial or fragments, and some, there are three pretty much complete Bibles. Can anybody tell you the old back up to the 300s? Which Bibles go back that far and which complete ones do we have? Remember what the names of them are?
Alexandria.
The Codex Alexandrius. Sinaiticus. And the Vaticanus. All right. And it tells you all about that in here. If we didn't have any Bibles at all, any Greek Bibles, do you know that in the Athanasian Fathers, that there is enough quotations of the Bible to put the Bible together?
How about Tyndale?
Okay, hold on. The ancient Greek writers, many of the ancient Greek writers, you know, like Socrates and all of this, all of the ancient Greek writers, the classics, there aren't any that go back over 200 or 300 years. Did you know that? There aren't any that go back that far. Back even before Christ. There aren't any. They've all disappeared, burned up or something. But there's gobs. Like I said, there's over 5,000 manuscripts of the Bible. As I teach this class, I'm going to cross-reference it into Hebrew and a little Latin and German, whatever's necessary at the time, okay? you can get Hebrew interlinears also. Here's a Hebrew interlinear, and I'll give you a little Hebrew. We've got some Hebrew in the class tonight also. We'll look at that, and that'll help you understand, because a lot of the ideas in Greek come from Hebrew. There are many Hebrewisms in the New Testament. Because all the writers of the New Testament, basically nearly all the writers, except for Luke and maybe Apollos or whatever, they were what? Jewish. So they would use Hebrewism. Okay? Now, before Christ, about 300 years before Christ, there was a Greek translation of the whole Bible. It's called the Septuagint. Now, the Septuagint was not perfect by any means. Already they had, and the time that they did this was about 280 to 300 B.C. They already had a lot of ideas of the Babylonian ideas of creation, etc. And so the Hebrew Bible that we have today is Hebrew, all right, if you get a Hebrew Bible. But if you get what they call a Jewish Publication Society, you'll find it is a It is an interpretation and not a translation. And when you interpret something translating, it is totally different, people. All right. That'll give you a little bit of an idea of that. Let's go to Romans 4 and 4 now. We're going to read the Greek. And we'll look at the words. There's some beautiful things in here. Anybody start this off? You all have an interlinear. Do you have an interlinear? Do you have a...
The Romans?
Oh, yeah. You didn't get one last week?
Oh, no.
Okay, well, I'm going to have it on. Okay, there you go. Thank you. All right. Anybody start that off? Pretty easy. Tov. Just say tov. And then day. And ergazomeno. Ho. Now see that O there? The reason why it's a ho is because it's got a rough breather over the top of it. Okay? And the definite article. See, that's a definite article like that. What would be the feminine definite article? That's a masculine. What's the feminine one? David, what's a feminine definite article?
I don't know.
Hey. All right. And then what's the neuter one? Toe. All right. So you've got masculine, feminine, neuter, definite article. That's ho, eristrathon, arthron. Now, in the little Greek grammar that you have that I wrote has all that in it. Okay. Even the real Greek terms for the parts of speech. To de ergazomeno, ho. And then we have the word mistos. All right, ou. Okay, logizete. And the next one is just like it. You could look at that and read that if you never saw a Greek word. Kata. Because it's just printed just like it is in English. Okay, kata. All right. And then here we have another word, karin. And then Allah. Allah. And then here's that other word again. What's that? Kata. All right. And then ophelema. Ophelema. All right. Now, there's two funny looking little things like this in Greek. Okay. That's a theta. That's a TH sound. Okay. And this one here is a PH sound. My last name starts with that in Greek. It is a Greek name. All right. Phillips. All right. So you see those, we'll run into it. We'll look at this. Don't let Greek scare the devil out of you. I mean, it's nothing to it. It's like English, okay? So much like English. Now, the Hebrew, I'll say, isn't. That's backwards and upside down. But it's learnable also. You can learn that. Are you studying anything yet, Cindy? You have to look at the Hebrew yet?
I look at the Hebrew, no.
Oh, you have to look at it, yes. All right. Yes. Right to left. I have one back there. I'll show it to you after the class. Okay, I wrote an interlinear of the Genesis. Now, well, I wrote an interlinear almost of every book in the Bible. All the New Testament books, 27 of them. All right, tode ergazomeno. All right, to the, now that's dative singular masculine definite article, okay? And then we have a weak adversative conjunction, that's day, and that's actually how that sentence starts. You know, like in Spanish or other languages, you never learn English until you learn a foreign language. Never. You're not going to learn English until you learn another language, so you have to correspond that language to English, then you will learn your own language. All right? All right. And to the one working for himself. That is, that word there, ergazomeno, is present. Participle, middle voice. A participle, what's a participle? In English, it's a gerund. Running, jumping, hiking, all of this type of idea of continuous action, okay? Not only that, here, it's kind of like a noun and a verb marriage. You've got kind of married together. It's present, participle, middle, and then it's it comes from ergazomai, and it says the reward, the laborer, Moreover, to the one, the laborer, the reward there, mistos. Mistos. That's the word right up here. See this? That's wages are higher. Mistos. Mistos. Now, Greek has two S's in it. English used to have two S's. Did you know that? If you go over here and look at that King James Bible there, if you, that, of course, that's printed in 1611. But when did English, when did the English language lose its final S? All right. There are two S's in English. One of them, how many of you ever seen the Constitutions? Constitution is written in Old English. All right. I've got books at home that are written in Old English, a lot of history books. There is a, like you would put the word Congress, okay? It would look like that. It's not Congress, it's Congress. That's two S's. That's not a F and a S, okay? That's your final S and your S in the word. In Greek, you have the same thing. You have an S in the word, a sigma in the word, and a final S. That's like our S. That's where we got our S, by the way, from Greek. You find out Greek's a whole lot easier because a lot of the English language came from, all of your medical terms come from Greek. All of your legal terms come from what language? Latin. And that's what I told you last week, 300 B.C., remember this, the 300 B.C., that's when the Latin Vulgate, or not the Latin Vulgate, but that's when the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures was done. And then about 300 and something, almost 400 A.D., is when the Latin Vulgate was printed by Jerome. And that's when the Catholic Church, what was evolving into the Catholic Church, they wanted to take the Bible out of the hands of the people. And they made it illegal to have a Greek Bible. Well, we still have them, even to this day. All right. Or the one working the for the wages, the hire. Okay, that's what it means. Wages due him. Mistos is something you get paid for. Okay? Not, now that's a little adverb of negation there. Ooh, that OU looking thing, you can see that in English. It looks just like it does in English. Ooh. On page 294, if you want to write that down there. By the way, if you want to write the root of this in mistos, that's page 271, if you want to write that down. And then it says, not it reckons. Now, we get a word logistics from this word right here, logizete. Logizete. All right? That's third person singular, present, indicative, passive. It's present tense. Workers go out and they work. And then when you come and get your paycheck, you say, oh, thank you. That's gracious of you. When you go out and work for a living, what do, Brother John? You expect the paycheck, don't you? All right. Now, the other night on the radio, I'm a ham radio operator, and I get on 75 meters and talk in the evening, have been for about 30 years or so. And people ask me Bible questions. And one guy back in Wisconsin or Iowa or someplace asked me, well, if you're saved, or you're always saved? I said, yes, you're saved. If you're really, truly saved, if you repent of your sins and you're born again, you are saved forever. That's a done thing. And I described, you know, how the triune nature of man and the Spirit God comes and dwells in you, and it's an inseparable part. That's what marks you, ear tags you for the resurrection of the saved. Okay? And I said, but a child of God, if he is working legally for the Lord, all right, If he's doing what he's doing for the Lord, all right, if he's doing it for the Lord's sake and not for some other reason, you find that in Paul's writing in Corinthians. Some people's rewards are going to do what? Poof, go up in ashes. All right, because they didn't do it for the right reason. But if you serve the Lord and you work for him and do it for the right reason, you're going to get a paycheck. And that paycheck in eternity is going to last forever. That's something you're going to get. You're going to have it forever. Okay? And that's what it's talking about here tonight in this verse. Kata is according to. All right? Now, kata means it is an idea of place, something according to place or time or according to. It is a what we call a preposition of place, page 213, if you want to look that up. And then Kareen. Kareen is a beautiful word. For in grace ye are having been saved. Ephesians 2 and 8. All right, here's the word Kareis or Kareen. It's Kareen here. And a little particle, page 435. And if you want to look it on up further, it's page 433 in that analytical Greek lexicon that I showed you a little bit earlier. It's in here. All when you write these things down, it's all cross references to this book, and you can go look it up yourself. Okay? You can look it up yourself. Now, when I come to certain words that are very important, like the word there, working, that's a product of employment. That work right there, that's working. Then we look at this wages, that is what you get, that is the wages for hire, that's something you earn. It's not a gift, okay? The wages are not gifts, okay? And then it says not reckoned, this is where we get our word logic from, logistics there, from logizete, third person singular. Now, third person singular, who is that? First person singular is I, second person is you, third person is he, a she, or an it. Because we have masculine and feminine and neuter, okay, in Greek. Okay? And it's present tense, it's happening right now. It's middle voice, middle or passive, all right? And here, in this, it's actually passive voice. You can put passive, circle around that. It's an indicative mode, which means that it is a statement of fact. Indicative, something that is indicative is a fact, okay? According to grace, Kareen. Now, it comes from Cairo. See this word up here? Cairo. Cairo. Let's look at that for a moment. It means something that's gracious. We talk about grace as being God's unmerited favor toward man. God's unmerited favor. We talk about on the chart here, and I handed some of these charts out earlier, if you look at God's plan of salvation, He has a scheme. Have you ever seen anybody set around a scheme to the evil? Well, God schemed in eternity past about our plan of salvation. It's His scheme. It's His plan. God's plan of salvation. All right? Now, His plan of salvation is that He will save people by what? By grace. By the merits of Jesus Christ, period. That's it. You're saved by Jesus' blood. Nothing else. You can't work yourself to heaven. We're going to come over a little bit later on. What is the sign of the new covenant? How do you sign the new covenant? Who signed the old covenant? Back in Abraham's time, what was Abraham's signature on the covenant?
Circumcision.
All right. What is the sign of the new covenant? Baptism. All right. Now, that's another important thing here. Now, King James, when they translated, when they came to the word baptism, they had a problem. Baptizo. The Latin word equivalent to this is mergio. And we got our word immersion from that word. Okay? So if baptizo and mergio are equivalents, and our word immersion, now what form? Baptism is only one form. It's not sprinkling, it's not pouring. Now if it was sprinkling, there's a Greek word for that. Grantizo. And it's got a rough breather on grantizo. Okay? Now, if you wanted to pour, it would be nepto. So baptism is not pouring, and it's not sprinkling, but it's immersion. When King James came to that word, when King James told his people, he said, now, this is the authorized, you know, King James is called the authorized version. Okay, the authorized version. The Latin Vulgate was the authorized version before that. You couldn't have any of the Bible but that Bible. If you had another Bible, they were going to kill you. Okay? So we come to the King James, and King James, that's the authorized version. That's the only one that they wanted them to have in England. Now, in the preface to that, what they call a testatory letter, it damns two groups, the Baptists and the Catholics. The Catholics basically didn't have a Bible. They didn't study the Bible at all. The Church of England, to keep their people from going back, you know, Henry VIII, he wanted, the reason why the Church of England started is Henry VIII wanted to marry Anne Boleyn. And the Pope wouldn't give him a divorce. So, he just run the Pope and all the Catholics out of England and took over all the church buildings and said, I am the Pope now and I will give myself a divorce. And I will get married. All right, he got married. He married her and he chopped her head off and he married some other ones.
That's the way he
gave
her a divorce, chopped her head off.
That's right. That's right. He's pretty smart. Some of them he stuck up there in the Tower of London, you know, and left them up there. Anyway, some of the people kept going back to Catholicism. He had a hard time keeping them. And, of course, the Baptists were out preaching from the Bible, the old Greek Bibles and everything, and they were preaching and going on. So King James says, I'll tell you what we're going to do, boys. He said, we're going to have a translation to keep them people from becoming Baptists and keep them from going back to the Catholic Church. But I don't want you to translate anything in that Bible that's contrary to the beliefs of this church. If you do, I'll kill you. That's pretty straight, isn't it? So when they came to the word baptizo, they said, King, what are we going to do about this word? If we translate it immersion, John the Immerser, John the Dipper, they're going to know we're wrong. And they'll say, well, Baptists are right. What are we going to do about this? He said, well, we're not going to translate it at all. Yeah, we'll just transliterate. We'll just put it over into English language and forget about translation.
You know, in the predecessor to King James, Bishop's Bible, that was, there was a big question on that and also on the word repentance. They translated repentance.
Well, see, the Catholic Church, they did penance. Yeah. And so they did. They didn't want to say repent. They wanted what? Penance. Because they would prescribe penance that you would do for your sins. You'd have to. And they, of course, they invented confession. Confession and all that. These were all inventions of the Catholic Church. And really, the Church of England was nothing but warmed over Catholicism with a different head. We have the head of the Queen of England or the King of England, either one. And then we have the Archbishop of Canterbury. Let's go on now.
Aren't there times when baptism refers to the Holy Spirit's baptism of believers into the church and not water baptism at all, really?
Baptism is baptism. But I'm going to talk to you about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, okay? That's the Shekinah glory. Back over here in tabernacle time, when they built the tabernacle and had it all finished, the Shekinah glory of God just took possession and it immersed all of that with His glory. That pillar of fire and that cloud of glory just completely immersed it. They were baptized in this Shekinah glory of God. Okay? When they built Solomon's temple, God did the same thing. On the day of Pentecost. Now I'm going to tell you something. People were indwelt by the Spirit of God all the time. Baptism is a sign of the new covenant. That's it. That's what it is. It doesn't save you. You signed the covenant. All right? You covenant with the church. You openly, publicly put on Christ. It's a death, burial, and resurrection. It's a type of the gospel. It shows the gospel. You die to your old self and you're raised anew. Jews baptized hundreds of years before Christ. They baptized every proselyte that came into the Judaism. They died to their old ethnic background and were raised to anew as a child of Israel, a son of Israel. On the day of Pentecost, what took place there, they were already indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit didn't come on the day of Pentecost. Soteriology, salvation, has always been the same all the way back yonder. They were always indwelled by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is what marked them for the resurrection. Now, before they were marked for the resurrection, but salvation in space and time didn't take place until Jesus came and died for our sins on the cross of Calvary and rose. Then salvation was a fact. It was a promise before that. That's what the book of Hebrews said. All right, so what happens there at Pentecost is Shekinah glory of God immersed that church there. And then because they had such an ethnic superiority complex, the Jews did, when the disciples there, those at Caesarea, when those Gentile disciples, when they were saved, and they were, by the way, they were saved people, and then they baptized them and added them to as a church. They established a church there. But what happened? God did. They had the immersion of the Holy Spirit there. They had the Shekinah glory of God showing that the Gentiles could be churches, New Testament Gentile churches. And by the way, the Gentile churches replaced the Jewish church later on. They just went away. Let's go on a little further. All right. According to grace. Grace. Now, Thayer, you can look up that word on page 667 in Thayer. Page 435 and 433 in that analytical Greek lexicon. There's another word, kairos or pyro. It's helios. Helios means mercy. All right? That's mercy. And then in Hebrew, there's a word called chan. All right? Chan. Chan. It's like that there. And then tov. And then chesed. This is mercy. Tov means good. Now the plan of God's plan of salvation. It's going to tell you a little bit about that in the next verse. But when you are born again, when you are saved, when you repent of your sins and call upon the Lord to save you, you are changed. The mercy seat over here, the helosmos, or the kafar, that thing right here on top of the Ark of the Covenant, it covers the law, doesn't it? The mercy seat covers the law. And in 1 John 2 and 2, it says Jesus is our mercy seat. He's our covering. God sees the blood of Jesus on us. He doesn't see our sins. That's going to be more specific about that later in the next few verses. Paul, in Romans, preached the whole Bible. The book of Romans is like a miniature Bible. Every doctrine in the Bible is in the book of Romans. Okay? Grace, but according to debt. Ophelema. Ophelema. Debt. Okay? Phelema. Ophelema. That's debt. In other words, when you go out and work 40 hours for a guy or 50 hours or 60 hours in a week, that doesn't obligate you to your employer. It obligates your employer to you, doesn't it? Because you worked for him. You did something for him. He owes you something. After we work, when after we're saved and God makes us love him from our innermost being, don't we? From that time on, we want to serve him. We want to go to church. We want to go to discipleship classes. We want to know more about him. We, you know, the Bible is God's instruction manual to us. Okay? It tells us about us and it tells us about God. All right? Now, when God looks at us, he doesn't see our sins. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ. He sees the grace. We're saved by grace. And after we're saved by grace, then what we do for him is going to be rewarded. All right? Rewarded. Now, on that, Cindy, are you Rebecca, have you got your Amplified Bible with you? You want to read that for me? You got it open, don't you?
Four and four.
Four and four. Amplified Bible is a good expanded translation, by the way.
Now to a laborer, his wages are not counted as a favor or a gift, but as an obligation, something owed to him.
All right, so we become laborers in the field of the Lord. And then the Lord is going to pay us, isn't he? All right? Four and verse five. Four and verse five. And it starts off with the same thing, doesn't it? Anybody remember what that was? Today, May. Today, May. All right. Ergazo meno. Almost the same as it was before. Pistionte. Day. Epi. Tone. Decaiunta. Tone. Asebe. Logisete. Hey. Pistis. Altu. Look at that out too. It looks just like English, doesn't it? Nothing unusual foreign looking about that. And then ace, You can look at ace there, and that looks just like English, doesn't it? All right. Dikai usune, and most of that is looks like English. All right. God who justifies the ungodly. God who justifies the ungodly. But to the one not working, but believing. All right, that word pistios. It's present participle, active, dative, singular, masculine. All right. The one believing. The one believing. Pistio. That means to trust. That means to be convinced. That means to be assured. It means to be confident. Thoroughly convicted and persuaded. That's what the word believe means. But upon the one justifying, making honest, right, trustworthy, innocent, making godly. That's what the word dikaiounte means. It comes from dike in Greek, dike, and tov in Hebrew. God makes us good. Did you know that? And in Genesis, someone turn to the book of Genesis for me. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a Hebrew translation of that as we look at it. Because we're going to see the word tov over there several different times, and we're going to see the word hayah, which are became several times, and in King James and most of the translations, it translates it incorrectly. What King James laid down sometimes threw everybody a curve, and they wouldn't change from it because they would offend somebody and they wouldn't buy their translation, so they didn't change it. All right. Who has got Genesis, the first chapter? 1 and verse 4. Cindy, are you over there? Real loud.
God saw that the light was good.
All right, let's hold on right there. And God saw that the light was good. No, that's not what it says. What is it, Brother David?
It says, and God saw the light, that it became good.
It became good. It became tov. Good. Now, what was over the face of the whole earth? Genesis 1:1, it says, Bereshith bara. It says, in beginnings, in one of the beginnings, way back yonder in eternity, created, brought to a complete perfection, the heavens and the earth. And then it says, Viharis, Hathia, Tohu, Wahuhu. And the earth, she became formless and void. And it says, darkness was over the faces of the deep. Elkanah Tahoma. All right, over the faces of the deep. It had become terrible. Who was the original light carrier of the material world? Lucifer. What does his name mean?
Light carrier.
All right. But because of his sin, everything became darkness. And then God sets things back in order, and that's what you see in Genesis 1st age, is God bringing into order what Satan had thrown into destruction and chaos. All right.
He had, some people refer to that as a recreation then. But it really wasn't a
reconstruction. It's a reconstruction. Yeah. It's a reconstruction of the earth. Of the earth was drawn. It was created perfect in the first place. Now, if you look at a Jewish Bible, they believed in the Babylonian idea of creation, that God created everything in a chaos. And what they say in their Jewish translation, Jewish Publication Society, it says, in the beginning, God began to create the heavens and the earth. But that's not what it said. God created, finished the heavens and the earth, and then the earth, she became formless and void. So now what we see here in Genesis, the first chapter, is a reconstruction of the word, setting it right. And the first chapter of the book of Genesis is an absolute story of salvation. It's a story of salvation. Bill.
Yeah, I might add, Jim, no place in the Bible does it say God made something out of nothing. The elements were already here. When God spoke, the elements came together.
It came from Him.
That's the reason the earth on the inside is the exact same age as the earth on the crust. The science, and I don't know if you guys knew about 3 years ago, there was an article in Bakersfield, California, where the scientists drilled miles deep down, and they pulled it out, and they found out that the 10 miles down was the exact same age as what's on the crust. So
okay, now.
With the Big Bang Theory. There never was a bang. God created it.
God, it says, in beginnings, Bereshith, bara, finished and created. Elohim, that's the whole name for God, Elohim, okay? Elohim, the heavens and the earth. He says he heavens first, that means the cosmos. After the earth, after the heavens were created, this expanse to put all this in, then he placed the earth in exactly the right spot. Earth was probably created last of all the things. He placed it exactly where it should be, where life could be. Okay? And it says here, and the earth, she became. The earth, she became tohu bavohu, and then it says, we hashuk, and darkness el panei tahom, was over the face of the deep. And then it says, we ruha, ruha is spirit. What is it in Greek? Ruha in Hebrew, and what is it in Greek? Pneuma.
Pneuma.
Okay? We got a word pneumatics from the Greek word. Okay? Ruha, and when you, and say ruha, breathe it out. It's got a ruh. Ruha. Spirit. Spirit means breath. And in Greek, it also means wind or breath. Okay? We ruha Elohim. Mira hetefet. And Spirit God was suffering over, mourning over the faces of the deep. God is suffering over. Now, when we are convicted of the sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, the Spirit God is hovering over us, just like He did the...
Mourning over
us. He's mourning over us. And your spirit will mourn with His spirit. That's when you repent. All right? And you're saved. And you are reconstructed. Just like what God did here. Isn't that beautiful? You don't see that. Now let's go on and look. Cindy, you were...
What caused the earth to become...
Satan. Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14.
Is that the fall of the angels?
That's the fall of the angels.
Oh, okay.
Satan, Lucifer, was over the material creation of God. He was a light carrier. And he became the child of darkness.
He said he could be like God.
He wanted to be like God. And
If you put this into effect that when Michael kicked the devil out up there and he's hitting the earth, the type of explosion that would have happened, that goes along with you. People have heard of the Gamble explosion. That's the big explosion in the earth. They're trying to say that there was this huge explosion. When Michael kicked the devil out and they're hitting the earth, that goes in the timeline that the earth was a mess.
All right. Now in Revelation, we looked at that one also. We find out that that takes place a little bit earlier. I mean, later than when Michael kicked him out of heaven. He still access to heaven today. Okay? But let's go on a little bit. Now, God, Genesis is a type of the reconstruction that God in salvation. He is going to, according to John 3:16, for God so loved what?
The world.
That's not just man. That's the whole cosmos. He's going to redeem it all back to himself, okay? Now, Cindy, back over there in Genesis 1 and verse 4.
God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness.
Okay, the light became good, tov. And that's what we are. We become good. When God gets us in order, our lives in order, he looks at us and we are tov. That's the word tov right there. That's what it looks like. In Hebrew. Okay? We are good or we are decay. We are righteous. All right? We are righteous. Because God says we are. The A.T. Robertson said this is a forensic figure here. But the one not working, believing, assured, being confident and persuaded and convicted, but upon the one justifying. That's the one making us honest, trustworthy, innocent. He makes us innocent. He makes us godly. And it says ungodly. He makes the God. He makes the ungodly godly. That word asibe. Remember a Greek. What they call the church fathers, Eusebius. Remember him, Eusebius. Eusebius means careful. Eusebius. All right. That's his name. What we have here, the front of that word means good. Okay? And the front of this word, alpha on the front of any Greek word means what? Huh? The opposite. It means un. This means ungodly, uncareful, unworshipful, unpersuaded. Now he makes the ungodly godly. Okay? He makes them told good. He looks at man and makes man good by his merits. Not by man's merits, but by his merits. And then logizete, reckoned. This is logically reckoned, and this is where we get our word account from. It is reckoned third person singular, present, indicative, passive. It is reckoned the faith of him. Eis dikaiosune. Eis. Remember what the... that's a little Greek preposition, page 119, and you can look it up in that Greek lexicon. What does that word eis mean? What is the grammatical idea of that word? This is one I'm going to drive home. What is that one, Cindy?
Extension or limitation.
Of thought or verbal action. Yeah. Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. That's the idea of it. All right? Because we have believed him. Because we are persuaded. Because we believe. It says that God accounts it unto, through, and beyond. Do you know that the Lord looks at you today as if you're already glorified? It's done. It's a done deal, people. Your salvation is finished. Genesis 1 and 10. Genesis 1 and 10. Anybody over in Genesis still? Young lady back there, are you at Genesis 1 and 10? Would you mind reading that out loud for me, please?
God called the dry ground land, and the waters seed. And God saw that it was good.
All right. And God saw that it became tov, good. When he looks at us, after we've been saved, he said, good. Good. Tov, good. You're dikaiosune. You're righteous. We're righteous because we have the righteousness of Christ. Verse 18, verse 21, and verse 25 all tells us the same thing. And it became so. All right. 4 and 6. Katha pair. What's the next word? Tie. All right. And then what is that one? David. All right, legay. Tone. That word tone there is looks a whole lot like English. And then makarismo. And we're going to look at that word used over and over again. Now, Paul is playing on that word, makarismo, and he uses it in different forms, but it's going to be two anthropu. Ho, ho. Look at that. Ho, ho. Theos. Logisete. Dikaiosune. Choris. Ergo. All right. Katha per. That comes from kata and peri. Actually, kata, ha, and peri. Even as or just as also. The word kai there is usually conjunction, but here it's like a community particle or particle of affirmation. Okay? Kai. All right? Even as also are yes, David. Yes, indeed, sure, amen, if you want to put it down there. Amen. David. Now the word David. If you want to write this down in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, Brother Randall will want to write it down on page, in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, on page 188, it talks about David. All right?
The word David. Put it up here someplace. That's it. David. David. It comes from Dode. That's what the name David comes from. What does the name David mean?
Beloved. What?
Beloved.
It's got more, it means more than that, I'm going to tell you. It means more than beloved. It means to boil intensely. How many of you ever had fried something real hot, like potatoes or something, and you get the fire going, you get the skillet burning real hard, or you get, and you're making spaghetti or something like that, and you get the pot just to boil, or you're making corn on the cob, you get the pot just boiling, just turn it over and boil. That's what the term David means, don't. It means to boil. And then you put the whatever you're going to cook in there. Now the idea here is that God hotly loved him. With a tremendous heat, intense desire, he loved David. David means beloved one. That's what it means. It means to boil. It comes from that Hebrew word God. All right? Just as also, or yes, David, he says the happiness, blessedness of the two anthropou. We got our word anthropology right out of this word, anthropos. It's anthropos, anthropou here, genitive singular masculine. See that? We have that os, oo, all right, genitive singular masculine. The man to whom the God he reckons logically applies to his account, that's what that word means, third person singular, present indicative middle, all right, that he reckons or he computes, so he applies to his account righteousness, dikaiosune. This word, mercy. And you become told, you become good. When God saves you, you're good. When you are, here you are, here's God, triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one being, not three, and you are one man, but you are spirit, your soul, and your body. Okay? When you're born into this world, you have the spirit of rebellion in you. The spirit that God, or not God, but that Adam put in you. The spirit of rebellion. That's also what causes death. All the way, soteriology, all the way back from the very first man that was ever saved, Adam, when he believed, when Eve believed, Spirit God dwelled in them. All the way back. Spirit God marked them for the resurrection of the just. Because they became just right there. Because they believed God. They were persuaded, even though they went and offered a sacrifice. Every year they had to go offer sacrifices. But they believed God. Okay? We only make one sacrifice. Isn't that neat? We don't have to go every year and make sacrifices, as the book of Hebrews says. One time it's made. Hapax is the Greek word. One time. One time. When that spirit comes in us, spirit of God comes in us, and the spirit of rebellion leaves us, now we still got the old body, and we still got the mind of the flesh, don't we? The soul is the psyche, all right? And the Greek word for body is what? Soma, or sarx. John 1:14 says, Kaihologos sarx agenito, and the Jehovah, the word, that's a Hebraism, the Jehovah, Hadabar. In the Old Testament, when it came to the name Jehovah, they said Hadavar, the word. Okay? Hadavar. They would not speak that name. After they received the law, it says, thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's what? Name in vain. So they never used his name again. They were afraid to say his name. The name of God is Jehovah. Okay? We say that. That's what King James says. If you tried to pronounce it, it would be something like, with a yod and just breathing out. All right? But that's the name or the word, Hadavar or Hashem, okay, in Hebrew. So we see that name, and in John 1:14 says, and the word, the Jehovah flesh, he became. And the reason why he became flesh is so he could redeem the cosmos and mankind. All right? He wasn't just going to redeem man walking around on two legs, he's going to redeem the whole cosmos. All of it back to him. Okay? Mankind, to whom God reckons righteousness without charis. That means completely apart from works. Ergo. We have the word ergonomics today. Yeah, works. It comes right out of Greek.
So is it true then that the righteous man can't try and trust at the same time?
He can't what?
You can't try and trust at the same time.
Try and trust. The righteous man
trusts only. He doesn't trust.
He trusts in God. He trusts in God. He believes in God. He clings to God. He is persuaded by God. He becomes a believer. Now he becomes a believer, and also he is made good. He is made righteous because the blood is applied to him. Now, under that, the Ark of the Covenant, this is the idea, okay, of becoming good. Here's the Ark of the Covenant. It was a little box, okay? Inside the box is what? The law of God. The law is in there. The law does what? It condemns you. All right? This is pictures, word pictures, like you were teaching a baby, okay? This is simple language. The world hasn't understood this yet. People still trying to work their way to heaven. The Muslim religion is a humanistic religion. The Catholic religion is a humanistic religion. They get to work their way to heaven. They're doing something to get there.
They're crying.
Yeah, they're crying.
God, trust me.
Yeah. Well, the law that's in there, we have Aaron's rod in there, which stands for what? It wasn't Aaron's, it wasn't Moses' rod that did all the miracles in Egypt. It was Aaron's rod. Matter of fact, Aaron did it. All right? And the death angel did not pass over Egypt. It was Jehovah. You're not going to find the death angel in there anyplace. It was Jehovah. And the very presence of Jehovah is what killed them because they had no blood of life. Now, on top of this is the hilasmos, or the kafar. In Hebrew, hilasmos, hilasperion. That's the mercy seat. And up here is two angels. When we're born into this world, I believe there's angels saying he was born. He was conceived. Okay? When you die, angels are present. When you're born again, angels are present. There are two witnesses. By two or three witnesses, let everything be established. Okay? Now, these cherubims or angels are standing up here as witnesses on this mercy seat, and that's a type of what's happening with every man that has ever happened with every man in the world. The mercy seat is a covering, a kafar, a covering over our old sins that convicted us and sentences us to hell. No man goes to hell without trying to get there. You have to refuse all of the creation that you see out there that says there's a God, and all the conviction that is in every man's heart, according to Romans, the first chapter, you have to just wash that all away, and you just have to keep saying, as the fool said in his heart in the Old Testament, no God, no God, no God. He kept on saying that in perfect tense, no God, no God, no God. So every time God convicts you, you have to say no. And then you can get to hell if you keep doing that. Or you can come along and you can say yes and be persuaded and believe. Well, all right. Well, I went over a little bit tonight. We got started a little bit late. 4 and 7. You want to do that one or you want to just quit right there? You want to do one more or you want to quit? 4 and 7, all right? Okay, let's do it. Ma-ka-ri-oi. Hon. Afi Thaison. Hey. Anomia. Kai. On. Epe ka li Thaison. Hey. And Hamartia. Alright. Epe ka li Thaison. Alright. That comes from the word the apocalypse. The book of Revelation, the word apocalypse comes from this word here, kalipto. It means to cover. And it means to upon cover. All right. Happy or blessed of whom they were forgiven. Sent away. Third person plural, first aorist. How many times do you get saved? In one period of time, punctual action, first aorist, not second aorist, not a present participle, not present tense. You don't keep on getting saved. You are saved. Punctiliar at one point of time. First aorist is punctiliar action. That's point time. Right there. Second aorist is a little bit longer. But this is punctiliar. All right? You were forgiven. And it's done to you, passive voice. The lawlessness ones, the outlaws. The outlaws are saved. And of whom they were covered over, completely shrouded over like this. Here, shrouded over the sins of them. All right. Boy, that's good news. You know that? That's real good news. We'll start with 4 and 8 next week. I'll be here for a few minutes afterwards. Don't be afraid of the class. You will learn it as you go. If you'll just stay in the class for a while, all of these things will start making sense to you, and you can read right along with everybody else. And you won't have to use Strong's, or you won't have to use Young's, or anything like that. That's for babies. The Strong's are for babies, not for the strong. All right? you can start using these real lexicons and look up the words yourself, especially when you write down the page numbers, or you can go to it right away. All right? Well, go out and do something eternal. Go out and do something eternal. All right.